Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Mayit Katan Daf Chav Zayin. We begin at the last line of Chav Vav Amud Beis, Tanu Rabbanan. We learned a b'ris. Ha'hoylech m'makom l'makom. We're speaking about an avil who's en route, he's on a business trip. And then he finds out that a relative passed away. Typically, an avil doesn't do malacha. But here is a unique case. He already has his chayra with him, he's in China, he's on business. What should he do now? Im yachol amayit b'iska yamayit. If he has the ability to cease his asek, to stop his business right there, he's meant to do that. To suspend his business dealings until after his shiva. But if it's not practical, he's going to lose out. It's just not going to work out. Yigalgal imoyin, in this case, we allow him to conduct business together with his whole group. So if it's with a chabura, it doesn't necessarily appear like it's his personal business dealings, and therefore he can do it. But it's specifically in this case because, as Tosis brings, he's already en route. He brought his chayra with him. He did nothing wrong. He didn't expect this sudden turn of events, and therefore, if it works out, fine, but otherwise, he can resume, he can continue, provided that it's together, in conjunction with the rest of the group. Tanu Rabbanan. We learned that an avil is meant to do kfiya samit, which means to overturn his bed. The reason was given, Hashem says, look, I created you with a tzelem alekim. This is back on Tezvav Amud Beis. Right on the top line. The most deyukni, says the Gemara, nosati bohen, I have inserted my own personal image. Rashi says, b'tzelem elikim osa sa'odam, look what you did with it. Uba v'hesem afachtia, because of the averse, I had to reverse that tzelem elikim, I had to overturn everything. Kafu mitoisein alea, overturn your beds. On account of this tragedy, the Korban Eidah, the Yerushalmi says, the bed is the facilitator of zivug, of children. So that's meant to symbolize the disruption of the tzelem alekim, so to speak. And that's why the avil overturns his bed. He overturns his bed on which he eats, on which he sleeps. We actually don't do it today. Tosis back in Tanis, and also Tosis here a couple of days ago said that we don't do it today because we're concerned that the goyim will think that we're involved in kishuf and witchcraft. So we don't apply this today. But in any case, one of the elements of avelus was kfiyas hamita. Tanu Rabbanan, when do they do that? Meimasai kevenes hamitois. At what point do they overturn the beds? Once they transport the mace out of the home. So although when it comes to other hilchas avelus, those get activated at the point of kvura, typically at the point of kvura, but kfiya samita, which pertains to the tzel malakim, as soon as he leaves the house, they overturn the beds. Rabbi Shua Emer, no. It's like all the other elements of avelus. At the point of kvura, when they cover up the mace. Masa Shemes Rabban Gamliel HaZokin. There was an incident involving Rabban Gamliel HaZokin when he passed away. Kivish Yotza Mepesach Pesa. As soon as they took him out of the house, Amalem Rabbi Leza. Rabbi Leza turns to them, he says, Kafu Mite Seichem, overturn your beds, it's time. The Kivish Nistam HaGoylo. So everybody turned over their beds, and once they covered up, they put the lid on the mace, they covered up the caver. Now was Rabbi Shua turning to them, he says, look, it's time to do kviya samita. I'm ready to tell them all, it's too late. Kva kafinu al pizokin, we already overturned the beds based on the instructions given by Rabbi Lezer, who they refer to as zakin. Tanu Rabbanan. We know that on Shabbos we restore the beds. We had this a couple of days ago, right? We make a restoration, we do zekifa samita back on Chavdal Daman Aleph, because we're not meant to express avelus in public, make a public display of avelus, that's asur. So we restore the beds. At what point? It's a whole moving job. Do we have to wait to the last minute before Shabbos? No, we'll give you some extra time. It's better of Shabbos. After mincha time, some say mincha gedolah, some say mincha ketana. Amar Rabba Bar Huna. Afal became. Eino yoyishev aleh asher techshach. So you restore the beds. You put them back in position, upright. But to actually use them as such, don't do it until the actual Shabbos arrives. Continues the price. Well, Motoy Shabbos. What happens after Shabbos? Say it's already day six of the Shiva. It's just one day left. Do we have to trouble him to go and overturn all the beds again? Yes. Answer is yes. Well, Motoy Shabbos. Afal pish ein li leishev el yom echad. Even though it's just one day left of the Shiva, Chozer b'kayfe, he has to rearrange his furniture again and overturn the beds. Tanu Rabbanim, we learned in the price. Hakayfe mitasei. When they do kfiyas amita. It's not just on his personal bed. We're speaking about the Aval's bed. All the beds in the home, who kaifa, he has to turn over. Even if he has 10 bedrooms or 10 beds, he has to be kaifa all the beds. Suppose it's not like a father, and they're sitting in the house of the father, so everybody has to, all the beds. We're speaking, there are five brothers living in various locations. One of the brothers passes away. Kulan kaifin, all brothers, wherever they're living, even though they're not in the base of the mace himself, they have to be kaifin mitas. However, if there was a bed which was meant to, as a display case, they put the kalim on it, that doesn't have to be overturned because it's not serving a person. Likewise, dargash, whatever that is, we'll see in a minute, that too need not be overturned. Rather, we turn it sideways against the wall. Dargash, you do something else. Matters karbitav, you untie the loops which hold up the mattress. And it just collapses on its own. We're going to see soon why and what this dargish is all about. My dargish, what is this dargish bed? Ula arsa de gada, the bed of mazel. A bed sitting on the side on which mazel tov rested. It wasn't really used. It was just sitting on the side as a simon tov. Amli rabba, is that what dargish means? Avakasha, take a look at the Mishnah describing the melech. In the process of Avelos, this nun, Kola Omus Subun Malaritz. So when they come to the king to serve him his first meal, Sudas Avro, everybody's on the floor. Who makes a dargish, and out of deference to the melech, out of covet, he sits on the dargish. Now you gotta tell me dargish is a mazel tov bed. Nobody sits on that mazel tov bed. Miyukam midi. Can it be that it'll be a case, a situation where the other idnole is sivne? Until this point, nobody placed him on the mazel bed. And now we're going to place him there. It doesn't make sense. Maskev l'Ravashi. Ask Ravashi. What's the big deal? We do a lot of interesting thing during Avelos. My kushya. What about feeding him? Did you ever feed the king? What was the last time you gave him a meal? Mida da hava achila v'shtia. That did not until this point. Lo yachlinei. Lo yashkinei. We didn't. Nobody serves him food and drink. He has his own supply. Hashto achlinei v'shkinei. Now we're serving him. So Avelos brings along all kinds of interesting practices. So maybe we put him on the mazel bed. Elo ikash yakash. Rather, if there's any difficulty involved, it's as follows. Because we have a braisa, the sanya. The braisa that we just learned. Dargash, ein etzerach l'kfoisoy. Elo zoikf. This dargash bed doesn't have to be overturned. You just lean it sideways against the wall. Vi arsa de gada. If this dargash is the mazel bed, why wouldn't you overturn it? Hatanya, we learned in a braisa, all the beds have to be overturned, and this included. Hakayfe mitasei. Why mitasei bavadu kayfe? He doesn't just overturn his personal bed on which he sleeps. All the beds have to be overturned, including the mazel bed. Why does that get the special exception? Umay kasha. Yeah, why is that a kasha? It doesn't serve a person. So it's not included in the chiv. Mida dahava amita hamiyuchadas lekelim. It wouldn't be any different than the bed on which you set up the kelim. The sanya, imoysa mita hamiyuchadas lekelim, and it's a rachlik poisa. This type of bed doesn't have to be overturned because it's not serving a person. It's not meant for sitting or sleeping. So perhaps Dargish is this mazel bed. The reason why it's exempted from the Kfiyas Hamita obligation, that's because nobody lies on it. Eli Kash, your Kash. Okay, so if there's any Kasha to ask on your definition of Dargish, it's as follows. We learned Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Imer, Dargish. How do you treat the Dargish? Mater Kabrita, if you loosen up the loops, and it just collapses. So the mattress, the mat, just falls down. If you're gonna tell me this Dargish is this Mazel Tov bed, my Kabrita in Islay, since when does it have loops? It's just not made this way. So apparently it doesn't really fit your description. It doesn't really fit your definition. So what then is the Dargish? We're stuck. Says the Gemara, Ravan came to the rescue. He also Ravan. When Ravan arrived from Eretz Yisrael, he had an answer. Omar, he said as follows. Omar li Yahum Rabban. You should know that there's a certain Talmud Chacham who told me, his name was Rav Tachlifa Bamarov Shemei, that was his name. Tavashchiach Veshuka de Godoy, he would be found in the marketplaces of the tanners. And he was an expert in leather goods. And he told me, my Dargish, you know what that is? Arsa did slaw a leather bed, so that leather mattress, and that's what it's all about. So it is meant to serve a person. But the reason why we are lenient when it comes to this bed, we don't require overturning, Farshim said, because it ruins it. We don't want to destroy the bed, so you just lean it to the side. According to Shimon Leal, you just drop the mat, that it just rests on the frame. But you don't have to actually overturn it, in which case the leather will have to sit on the moist floor and get ruined. So it's the arsa that's law, the bed made with some type of leather mat. Itmer Nami. We have another raya that Dargish indeed is this type of bed. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Dargish Sirugay Mitaychay. By a Dargish, the looping happens towards the interior of the bed. So you have a frame, right, which is lying horizontal, on which they put the from which they hang the leather mat, and the leather mat is looped around the frame. So if this is one of the sides of the frame. So towards the inside of that frame, right? So it's like this, a frame. Towards the inside, you have these holes through which they loop the some type of loops, which are tied to the leather mat, and that's how it hangs. So siruga mitaychei, the looping takes place towards the inside of the frame and not really seen outside. But a mita, a typical bed, over there siruga al gaba. The looping takes place on the frame itself, so you sort of see the looping on the exterior of the bed. It's visible. So that was the difference between the Dargish and the bed. The Dargish, the looping was towards the inside, so sort of concealed, and the Mita had it visible on the outside. And actually, that's exactly how they make the Arsa Detzla. The looping is on the inside. Apparently, Arsa Detzla is the Dargish. Amar Rabbi Yaakov or Acho, Amar Shimon Levi, Halacha, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that we loosen up the loops, we allow the leather mat to drop down. That's how you address the Dargish during the days of Avelus. Amar Rabbi Yaakov or Acho, Amar Asi, Mita Shnakletel Yitz. If you have a bed with some pole, some bedposts protruding upward, which support the canopy that hangs over the bed. So naklitin were actually a pair of poles. So you have the bed, flat bed. You have a pole coming up on this side, and a pole coming up on the other side. Upon which they would sling another pole. Then they would hang a canopy, which says to protect from bugs or flies. So if you're going to turn over the bed, you're going to destroy the poles. So you're not required to actually overturn the bed. Zaykfa v'daya, you just flip the bed sideways, and that's enough. Tan Rabbon on Yoshein al Gabi Kisei. Suppose the oval decide I'm going to sleep on a chair, not on an overturned bed. Al-gabi yudayni gdayla, or on a large mortar, or overturned mortar. Or even al-gabi karka, on the floor, la yotze dechavos, he's not yotze. Why? Amar Rabbi Yechanan, shloi kiyem kviyas amita. He wasn't mekayem kviyas amita, which requires overturning the bed, and as the Rambam learned, sleeping on that overturned bed. That's what it's all about. Using an overturned bed during the Avelis. Tanu Rabbanan. Although, during the Avelis, the Avelim don't engage in personal pleasure, which would be considered a diversion from the matter at hand, but we maintain the cleanliness of the home. That's okay. Mechabdin, we sweep, marbitzin, they wash down the dust, we raise the oval in the house of an oval. Umadichin kar, they do the dishes, they wash the bowls, the kaisis, the glasses, the chiris, the containers, the pitchers, vesa oval. So cleanliness, maintenance, that's okay. Ve'ein mevinas ha-mugmar, vesa psamim, vesa oval. But we don't bring all kinds of fragrances. Psamim, mugmar is the fragrance which is burnt on the over ash. We don't bring that to the vesa oval. We don't seek to introduce pleasures to the vesa oval. Eini, is that so? We learned in the Braisa. Ein mevarchan lo yala mugmar. We don't make a bracha on psalm and besa aval. Why? Because the reason why they bring it is to dispel any unpleasant odors. So it's not meant to enhance, it's meant to remove any negative elements that may be found. So that doesn't require a bracha. Okay. But we have a diuk. Beruchi hu delay mevarchinan. We don't make a bracha because of that reason. Ha'isui ma'isinan, but it's pretty clear that we bring it. And here we learned in the Brice that we don't bring these things. The kashi, the answer is, depends on the situation. Depends on the need. Hob besa oval. If it's besa oval where the mace is there, you have to dispel that unpleasant odor. You can introduce besamim, but then you don't make a bracha because it's not there to enhance. It's just there to dispel. So you can bring it. Hob besa menachman. But once it's after kvura, people are coming in to the menachem oval. At that point, there's no justification for mugmar or for psamim. Maintenance, cleanliness, that's okay, but pleasures, we suspend that. Okay, so we learned about kviyas amita, which applies to all the beds in the home. It only applies to beds which serve the person, as opposed to a bed which is made for kalim, as opposed to the mazel bed. We had an exception for the leather, this leather arrangement, this dargish made from leather. We have some kulois to avoid damaging the bed. Same thing with the mita that has the poles. We avoid ruining the bed. We avoid pleasures of all types in the Beis Ovel. Continues the Mishnah. Ein malichin le-Beis Ovel. So this is referring to the Sudas Havra. On his first day of Avelis, he doesn't eat his own food. We provide for him, he's not self-sufficient. Some of our Farshim say we're concerned that he might not look after himself, he might just starve to death. So we made a takana that all will contribute, people bring in food, they supply him with his needs. But how do you present it to him? In a very modest way, in a very simple way. Ein malichin le-beis aval. You don't bring the food to the beis aval in an elaborate way. Lo b'tavla, whether using a tray, lo b'skutla, Rashi says, a tamcho, some sort of nice looking dish. Lo b'kanoin, nor using this shaper-shaped type of utensil, elabasalam, rather with simple baskets. So no tray, no tamchoy, large bowl, etc. We use a simple basket. Getting back to Chol HaMoed, we minimize the avelus mood, and we try to keep things toned down, so we don't say Birchas Avel B'Moed. Aval Emdim B'Shura, that we do. We get in line, and the Aval passes by, U'Menachmen, and we say Amokim Menachem Eschem, that's it, and then they go home. U'Poitrin Es HaRavim, they send the Rabbim home, rather than coming to participate in the Sudas Havro'ah, we tone things down on Chol HaMoed. So we keep things to the bare minimum. What else on Chol HaMoed? Eima Nichnas Hamita B'Ruchay, we don't place the meat of the mace out in the street, shloi laharglas a hesped, so that it doesn't encourage, doesn't exasperate the hesped and the avelus. We keep things at a minimum. V'loy shel nashim lo'olam. And certainly when it comes to nashim, we never do that. We never put out their mitzvah in public. Now covered to maintain the honor of the isha, Rashi says, she'shef ezivo, concerned about dam. So we keep the isha bitznius. Tana Rabbanan. Now we're going to have a long list of various practices which they used to do in the olden days, but Rishoyna, in the good old days, but then things were toned down and were standardized in order to maintain consistency and avoid any sort of embarrassment and peer pressure. Tana Rabbanan, but Rishoyna, in the old days, hayu malichin beis avel, so whenever one would bring food to the beis avel, it was up to you how to bring it. Everybody had their standard. A wealthy person would bring it with gold or silver sort of basket. Poor man would offer his offering with a very simple basket. Salinitzorim, a solid basket made from branches of peeled arabic, arabic klufa. And what happened? Poor people were embarrassed. Look, we can't live up to the standards of the wealthy people. And therefore, Chacham said, we're going to institute a one standard for all. Now, going forward, everybody will bring their food in a simple manner using these baskets to maintain the honor and covered, to be sensitive to the anim. They made avelos takanis. Many kehillos today, they have, you know, simcha takanot, chasan takanot, how many people can invite, how elaborate, how simple. There are avelos takanos to keep things simple. Tan rabbanim learned in the brayse. Bereshoyna, in the old days, hoyu mashkin beveis avel. We know that the Gemara Ksuba speaks about the fact they used to give the avel lots of wine to drink, to alleviate a situation, to loosen him up. So how will they offer him his drinks? Ashirim, wealthy people, b'schuchas lavana, using white glass, perhaps crystal, elaborate dishes. Vani and b'schuchas tzvua. And Ani would offer his wine using some cheap colored glass. Plain, simple glass. And that created embarrassment. And v'hiyani m'spayishin. Niskinu du masakin. From now on, everybody the same. Shiyu akol mashkin b'schuchas tzvua. Everybody uses plain glass. V'pnei kvoid nashal aniyim, to maintain the covet of aniyim. B'rishoyna. Initially, they would uncover the face of the usher, the mace. This way they see a healthy man, a well-fed person. Look at this. Look what happened. What a tragic situation. And it would arouse hesped and avelus. That they would only do by the ashirim. When it comes to aniyim, they would cover their faces. It appears in the Gemara, you can actually take, even though the Gemara speaks about not being mistakel at the face of a mace, it's kasha l'shikha, can cause shikha satira by the person, but apparently just taking a quick glimpse, that was okay. So they would keep the panim of the usher uncovered, and they would conceal pnei aniyim, pnei shim, shoyim u'shchorim pnei, because their face was blackened, pnei batzoris, because of they were famished. They weren't well fed, they weren't well nurtured, and therefore they would cover their faces. V'hoyu aniyim izbayishin, and poor people around would be embarrassed. Look, Even after death, they single us out. So they were embarrassed. He's kinu de masakin, going forward. Shiyu machasam tenakil, they would cover everybody up and make kvayin shalaniyim, to maintain the kavarani. Baru Yishoyin, in the early days, how would they carry out the usher, the mace, to the kvura, using this chashava bed, dargish that we mentioned, or this leather bed. Vaniyim, poor people, but klicha, using a simple mita shal mace, and Rashi says, some sort of rope arrangement. The poor people will be embarrassed. Look, even after death, look, we're singled out, where we have lower standards. And therefore, from now on, everybody uses the same simple bed to maintain the covet of aniyim. But in the olden days, if one suffered from an intestinal condition, and after death, that would exasperate the unpleasant aroma situation, and they would have to have gemugmar, incense, beneath the mace to dispel that unpleasant odor. So Bereshana, they would do that. What happened was, the surviving chayim, the ones that were alive, would be embarrassed. Look, We suffer the same condition, we're going through the same thing, and look, we're singled out even after death. It was embarrassing for them. To be sensitive to them, and therefore it became standard practice for all meisim, shihu manichen tachas akoil, they would place mugmar under every meis, irrelevant of the situation, mekvoidim shel choylim ayim chayim, to protect the honor of the living choylim ayim. Barishoina nishli v'madbilin es akelim al gabin yedus meisis, if a woman dies in a nida state, they would take all the utensils that she had come into contact with before death, that are now tamei, they would be matpulet, they would be tevel on mikvah. Well, your nida is chayis mishpaishis, the women in nida is that are alive, embarrassed, look, they're singling out after death, it's not a covid, and they would be sensitive to that, and therefore iskina do masakin, everything goes to tefillah. Shimat bilin al gabi kol anoshim, all begodim and kalim that noshim came into contact with before misa, would go to the mikvah, irrelevant of their status, is to maintain the honor of the living nidos. One more thing, but Rishon initially, matbilin al gabi zav meis, and the same thing would apply to a zav, a man zav, they would be matbil all the kalim which he came in contact with before misa, voyu zav and chayim es baishim, and the living zav would be embarrassed, hiskinu de masakein, sheyu matbilin al gabi koil, all kalim that came into contact with the meis would go to tefillah, and ikvoidim shal zav chayim, we no longer single out the zavim, this maintains their honor and their dignity. Oh, one more thing. Initially, they were very into providing elaborate tachrichim, shrouds for the mace. It was a big deal. And as a result, it was a big burden. It was a stressor. Even greater than the tragedy of death itself was the expenditure and involvement in dressing up the mace. Death is death, but this added expense exasperated the situation. What happened was the relatives just dropped the mace and said, look, Baruchan, I'm running away. Let the tzibur take care of him. And this wasn't really a good option. He says, you know what? I'm going to turn things around. He degraded himself, so to speak. He instructed his family that when he passes away, they use the most simple tachrichim. And in fact, they dressed him klei pishtan linen begadim. This provided a precedent, this lowered the standard and benefited the entire community. And going forward, we say, V'nogu ha'om achra, everybody followed suit, lotzis b'klei pishton, to dress the mace in simple linen cloths. Omra papa, nowadays it's even more. V'idna no'ag alma, nowadays the minhag is, I feel a bit sad, even using just a canvas, tachrichim, barzuza, worth a zuz, it's sufficient, we no longer make a big deal about the tachrichim. So the Mishnah spoke about Chol HaMoed. We try to keep things low-key, and we don't place the mitah b'rechayiv. Amar Papa, when it comes to Talmud Chacham, we suspend all these restrictions. Ein Moed b'fnei Talmud Chacham. When it comes to Talmud Chacham, we sort of do away with the Moed, which means we ignore the Moed aspect, and we do a full-fledged Hesped and Levaya in honor of his Torah. V'koshkein, and certainly Chanukah Purim, which only the Rabbanan, they take second priority, they take second place when it comes to the Moed, when it comes to the Hesped of Talmud Chacham. We actually had this in the beginning of Megillah, and the Gemara learned from this that even if it's at the expense of Kriyas HaMegillah, the Hesped of the Chacham takes priority. V'hani mil b'fanav, that's provided that he's right here. Avashli b'fanav, but if it's in a different area, loy, this halacha doesn't apply. So to make a Hesped on account of a Talmud Chacham's passing, and he's not here, it's in a different town, that doesn't justify. Any is that so? V'har Rav Kahana, Savdei l'Rav Zvidman Ardo, B'pum Nahara. It was Chol HaMoed, Rav Kahana, conducted a full-fledged Hesped in honor of Rav Zvidman Ardo, and he was in a different town, B'pum Nahara. How could he do that on Chol HaMoed? Omer HaPapi, I'll tell you the terrors. Yom Shemuha. That day was Yom Shemuha when he first heard of the tragic news. And that has the same effect, the same weight, as though the Chacham is right here. It's an intense period of Avelus and justifies a Hesped, even a Chol HaMoed. Omar Ula, Hesped Aleiv. Part of the Hesped ceremony is tapping on one's heart as an expression of the feelings of Avelus contained therein. They do hesped on the shadayim, on the breast, which is in the heart area. Tipuach biyad, the loshen tipuach. The procedure applied during hesped as well. Tipuach involves biyad, tapping their hands together, clapping. Kilus was beregel, where they tapped their foot on the floor. Turn around, on the kallis. One who's doing kilus, he must be careful to protect himself, lest he get injured. Well, your kallis be sandal, he shouldn't tap with a sandal which features stiff, rigid leather, which might chas v'shalom turn into a skin and injure him. El b'minol, rather, he should use a soft leathered shoe when he taps. He has a kana to avoid danger. Amar b'yechon. So we have the Avelim sitting, the Menachem coming to comfort him, and the Avelim had enough. It's late in the day. Avel kimish in near roishi. Once the Avel nods his head, an indication that I'm looked after. I appreciate your presence. I appreciate your words. That's it. That's a remez that it's time to leave. You have to know how long time I want to come, I want to leave. Shuv ei menachman rashon leishav etzla, the menachman are no longer allowed to sit there. V'ar b'yichon, ha'koil chayov alam b'nei nasi. When a nasi passes by, everybody has to get up for him, except for two. Chutz mi avil, because he's involved in zavelis, we don't require him to get up. V'choil, one who is ill, please stay right there, stay put, lest you exasperate your situation. V'amar b'yichon, la'koil oimim lehem shivu. Suppose everybody got up for the Nasi. The Avil got up. The Chayla got up. He didn't have to, but he got up anyways. So typically the Nasi turns to them and says, Rabbi Yisai, sit, Shavu. So that term is applied to all except for two people. Chutz me Avil v'Chayla. He will not tell the Avil Shavu. He will not tell the Chayla Shavu. You know why? Say the Mepharshim, because I think the taste of Rush. Shavu sounds like remain in that state. Sit down. Remain in that position, in that state. We don't want to tell it to an Avil. He's in a state of mourning. We don't want to tell him, stay there. A Chayla, he's sick. We don't want to tell him, stay there. Therefore, we refrain from using this term when we address the Avil and the Chayla. Amar Vidom Rav. Avil. Yoyim Rishon. The first day of Avilus. Others supply him with his food. Asur lecha lecha mishaloi. He may not eat his own bread. We have a rife on a pasuk. But the Amar Lerachman Eli Cheskel. Hashem tells you, Cheskel, you're going to suffer tragedy and you're not going to observe all the dini avelus. Is going to be a remes in the future. Klal Yisrael will suffer tragedy, and there won't be any avanachim, any avelim. For lechem anoshim lo yseich, you're different than a typical avel. You should not partake in other people's bread. Apparently, the standard avel does. His food is supplied by others. How did Rav Rav Yosef do it? Rav Rav Yosef machlef yisud asay ladat. They'll swap their meals. So when one of them was an Avil, the other one would give him a meal, and he would respond in kind when it was the other one's turn. Vam Rav Yudam Rav, mace beer. If one passed away in the town, call Bnei Yair, Asurin, Basis, Malach, everybody has to close up their shops, close up their businesses, have to look after the Kvuras HaMeis. When does that apply? In all situations? No, we're going to see in a minute. There was a story with Rav Amnuna Ikla, he came to the town Deroimta. Shama Kol Shipura. He heard the Kol HaShefer, which was blown at the time of one's passing. Shama Kol Shipura de Shechva. Okay, so he expected everybody to drop what they were doing and run, take care of the maize. No, business as usual. Chaza HaNachinchi, he sees these people. They were still buying and selling their stock. They were doing malach. Amalu, he turned to them. Lahavu HaNachinchi B'Shamta. You belong in go to Cher. Don't you know what's happening? Don't you know there's a mace in town? What are you doing? They responded, here it's different. Chaburta, ikubimasa. There's a chaver kadisha attending to the mace. There's no need for us to stop our activities. He said, okay, you're right, sorry. If that's the case, shari lechu, indeed you can continue conducting business. And that's in fact what we do today. We have a designated chaver kadisha that looks after the mace. Therefore, there's no need to stop what you're doing. Crying, avelus. That's part of the human condition. It's natural, it's understandable. It's part of the misa process. But too much, excessive bechia, is not acceptable. Why? Because it represents a lack of amunah, lack of bitachon, a lack of trust in Hashem. He knows what's good for us, and he looks after us. So a little bit, yeah, it's natural, it's understandable, but too much, something wrong there. Call him is kasha, mesi yesi medai. If one exasperates, one exceeds the standard, when it comes to crying and expressing anguish over his mace, there's a consequence. Al mace acharu boicha. He's going to come to cry on another mace. He's going to have another tragedy, chas v'shalom. It's like by Tisha B'av, Hashem says, look, you're crying for no reason. You don't trust me. You don't believe. Atam b'chisam b'chiyah shel chinam. You're going to cry for something real. You're going to have b'chiyah shel deres to churban beis hamikdash. Similarly here, he's overdoing it. Hashem says, look, then you're going to have another thing to cry about. In fact, there was a story with Ahi Itza, this woman. Da'avas b'shevuset Rav Huna, who lived near Rav Huna. She had seven sons. One passed away. She couldn't control, just crying and crying, uncontrollable. More than the standard. Rav Huna, her neighbor, was concerned that perhaps it's going to send the wrong message to the public at large. So he tells her, stop. Shalach Rav Huna, he sent her a message. Don't continue like this. She didn't pay attention to it. Shalachlai sent her another message. It says, if you listen, mutav good. But otherwise, tzavis, prepare zavdasa. The tachrichim l'idach for the next son. Miss. In fact, he passed away. And she just kept on going. Umisuku, and all her sons passed away. L'saif. After all that, Amalah, he again tells her, Temush zavdasa l'naf sheikh. You better prepare your own tachrichim umis. And in fact, she died as well. He was concerned that it's going to weaken everybody's amunah, everybody's resolve, and their amunah and bitachim Hashem sends the wrong message. It's detrimental to conduct oneself in this manner, and therefore he tells her, you're getting involved in dangerous waters. And she disregarded, and look what happened. So the pasuk says, "Al tifku l'meis, v'al tunu d'loy." Which sounds like, don't cry, don't be involved in any hesped at all. During the hesped, they shake their heads, that's tanudu. No, that's not what it means. It means don't overdo it. Al tifku l'meis yoyser medayim. V'al tanudu lo yoyser mekashir. What is the shir? Okay, so how does this work? Shloish yamal lebechi. First 3 days, the most intense period of avelus, that's called shloish yamal lebechi, days of crying. V'shiva lehesped, up until the shiva, the time for hesped, and that's it. You have to know when to get over it, to overcome one's emotions and place trust and Hashem, and put the matter aside. Ushloishim legiyot tasperis. When it comes to restrictions regarding giyots, freshly pressed new bag, tasperis, taking haircuts, that's up until 30 days. Mekan ve'elach, but past 30 days, avelus is over. Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu, iatem rachmonim bo yoyis mimeni. Don't think that you have more rachmonis than I do. I created you and him. I created the concept of Rachmanis. How can you purport to have more Rachmanis than me? I know what I'm doing. I look out for your best interests. I understand it's part of the human condition to cry, to be misavol, and it's actually mandated. The Kavod Hameis. It's therapeutic for the living people to express themselves and to have others empathize. It's gewaltig, but up to a point. The Pasuk says, Bechu bochay lahilach. What does that mean? Omer Rabbi Yudit, lo hilach b'lei banim. One who leaves this world without any offspring. That's terrible. He has no hemshech, no continuity. B'chu b'chei for this person. In fact, Rabbi Shimon Levi, lo yazal l'bei avla. Typically, he wouldn't go to the base of avl. He wouldn't go. He would only make exception, elo l'man da'azal b'lei bani, one who left the world without any offspring. Tichsiv, as the pasuk says, b'chu b'chei lo hilach. The pasuk concludes with the words, "Kilo yoshevoid v'ra es eretz milad." What does that mean? He's not going to come back to his place of birth. What is that referring to? Rav Huna Amar. You know what it is? I'm talking about a rush, a habitual offender. Zesha avar avera v'shalom. We're speaking about a person who transgresses, does averas, and repeats it until it becomes his habit. This fellow is terrible. Lo yoshevoid. Rashi says, Mashma Makan Veilach Layasit Loyalam Tshuva, his fellow is far gone, very, very difficult for him to come back. Rav Huna L'Tamei, Rav Huna follows his statement stated elsewhere. The Omer Rav Huna, Kivan She'Avar Adam Aveira V'Shanaba. Once a person gets to that point, He's over and repeats it. Hutrulai, it becomes mutter to him. Hutrulai is hakadaitach. It's really mutter. Why would it be mutter? It's a little asr. No, he meant like this. El eima nas is like a heter. To this fellow, it appears like it's mutter. He doesn't even think twice. It's so habitualized. It's so part of his lifestyle. Very difficult. Of course, it's possible. Very difficult to do tshuva at this point. Amar b'levi. When one experiences the loss of a loved one, it's an expression of midas hadin. Midas hadin, strictness from Hashem was applied at that point, and all those avelim must take heed. Perhaps their time is coming. It's a time to shore things up, to do teshuva. Avel shloish yamim rishem, the first 3 days of the avelos, the most intense period of avelos, the most intense expression of Hashem's din. Yire es atzma, he should perceive himself. He should visualize himself as though he's in danger. He's under threat. Kilu cherev monachas lebein shtei, as a gersak seifav, as though there's a sword situated between his shoulders. Mishloishav atshiva, from 3 to 7, okay, downgrade a bit. The threat level was downgraded from red to the orange. Kilu monachas lekneg lebekeren zavis, he has to treat himself as though there's a cherev, although not directly over his head, but in the corner of the room. Mekan ve'elach past 7, and Tosfos says, until Yud Beis Chodesh. It seems like any karev, not just parents. The first Yud Beis Chodesh is still has a lingering effect of the Midas Hadin. Kilu Eiveres connected b'shuk, although the cherev, the sword, is not right here, but it's somewhere in the distance. It's as though it's passing by him in the street. He should still take heed, he should still take it to heart. Midas Adin is still being applied to the family, and tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah is very much in place. Okay, let's do a quick chazara of what we learned today. Typically, an avil does not engage in schira. He's already on the road and involved in schira. We allow him to continue together with the chabura if there's no way out. What is about kviyas hamita? We overturn that bed. At what point? Some say as soon as the mace leaves the house. Some maintain it only begins at the time of kvura, like all the other dinu avelos. We overturn all the beds in the home that serve the people in the home, as opposed to the bed on which they position the kelim, the mazel bed. What about this dargish, this leather type of bed? We're makel, we don't want to ruin it, and we just turn it sideways, and according to Shingam Leil, you untie the loops and let the mat or mattress drop. Even in the base of Avol, they maintain cleanliness. We don't introduce besamim unless it's to dispel the Reach Ra. Many takanas were instituted to standardize the procedure, to take into account the various sensitivities of various parties involved. We tone things down when it comes to the Suda Savra. We provide only Sali Nitzarim in these cheap baskets. We give them to drink in plain glasses. We cover the mace's face, irrelevant of whether he's an Aniyun Asher. We carry him out in a very simple type of bed. We bring Mugmar to the Oli Mason. We are Toivel, the Kalim of all the Mason. And the Minigal Mice is to use very cheap Tachrich. Although typically on Chalamoid we tone down the Hespit procedure. Talmud Chacham is an exception, provided it's in his presence, or a Yoim Shemua, when the news arrived for the first time. When a mace is in town, everybody must stop their malacha to ensure the mace is being tended to, unless there's a chaver kadisha doing that job. Too much bechia, too much hesped is unacceptable, and during the period of avelus, the avelus must be aware of the fact that midas hadin is right there, and they should bring it to teshuva. We always hear besuras tovus and much atzlocha.